You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, where do you go after Kevin McDonald, Sam Dixon, and then tonight, that was last week's show, tonight, Jared Taylor, Mark Rever? Well, the only place you can go is to Paul Fromm, my good friend, my longtime friend. You know, I have known Paul Fromm longer than I have been on the air, if you can believe it. He is one of the few that I can say about that. Paul Fromm is the director of the Canadian Association for Free Expression and the Canada First Immigration Reform Committee. He has been fighting the good fight against, you could call it the rocket pneumonia, the boogie woogie flu, but we call it the COVID. He's been up there fighting for freedom against the statist policies of the Canadian government. Hey, if there's a good side to be had, Paul Fromm is fighting for it, and he's with us now. He's our last guest of the evening, and what an evening it's been. Paul, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks, James. It's always a pleasure to be on your program, and Happy New Year. And I think we're calling it the Wuhan flu these days.
Well, you know, listen, we brought you on to talk about Fromgate. Yes, there is a Fromgate, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll tell you all about it in just a moment. But, Paul, I have been inspired by your protests, your pickets, your demonstrations for freedom against the heavy hand of the state with regard to its restrictions for this Wu flu, this upper respiratory illness, not unlike so many others that could afflict us. What can you tell us about your work on that front?
Yes, well, beginning last March, there have been protests weekly in major cities and even smaller cities across Canada. I've never seen anything like it. Even back in the so-called peace demonstrations of the mid-1960s and late 60s and even in the early 80s against Ronald Reagan's Star Wars program, the left used to be able to maybe have two or three big demonstrations a year in the spring and the fall. But now people are fed up with these lockdowns, these attacks on freedom, in some places, basically house arrest. The province of Quebec has a curfew. You can't be out between, I think it's 8 at night and 5 in the morning unless you're on your way to work or going to a hospital. People are protesting, and the persistence every week, usually either on Saturday or Sunday, in big cities across the country, this is really something. And I've met so many great people. I've been to protests in Toronto quite often, in Kelowna out in British Columbia, and in Ottawa. There's a real spirit of freedom. Now, that's the good side. The bad side is there's an awful lot of conformity. I see Sleepy Joe is now going to mandate masks inside federal buildings and in airports. Well, we've had, in most parts of Canada, a mandatory mask indoors in commercial buildings for a number of months. So many people have fallen for this. It's so pathetic to see a grown man or woman alone in a car with a mask on. And you think, even according to the lies we're told, you know, that masks help prevent the spread of the virus. And that's untrue. It's false. But even given that, what could one possibly be spreading when you're alone in a car? I mean, even the mainstream are saying that there's growing mental illness because of the COVID craziness. So we've been fighting that, protesting that. The police, we're turning into a police state in some parts of Canada. Police arrested a number of people at the protest today in Toronto. There are big fines. The organizer of the protest in Kelowna out in British Columbia has been fined over $6,000, all for peaceful protests, which are guaranteed by our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. We have the right to assemble, freedom of assembly. All of these freedoms, or so many freedoms, have been just absolutely vacuumed away, and people are fighting back.
Well, and you've been leading that fight, Paul, and I'm with you on it, and I agree with everything that you've been saying, and thank you for doing that up there. I wish we had more people like that down here in the so-called United States, but you are setting an example for others to follow, and I want to make mention of that to the audience. Before we get into what we brought you on to talk about tonight, I've been following, of course, your Twitter. And, folks, we have there at the top of my Twitter feed those who appeared or are appearing on the show tonight, Jared Taylor, Paul Fromm, and Mark Weber. And you can link over to Mark and Paul's Twitter handles. And be sure to follow their work because they're doing the serious work that men should be doing. But, I was mentioning a moment ago, Paul, that our association, our friendship, predates even this very program. I had the opportunity, the honor of meeting you back in the spring of 2004. Now, we first went on the air in the fall of 2004. And I could tell you from knowing Paul Fromm for all these years, ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, this is the guy you want to have a beer with. This is the guy you want to break bread with. And I've had the opportunity to do that over the years. Unfortunately, not so much in recent years, as he's been banned from the country. It just goes to show how serious a country can get in banning people that they don't want to have when they set their mind to it. But that's Paul Fromm. But he has guts. He's a winner. He's intelligent. He is all the things we want and the men we want to emulate. And Paul, you're everything that the enemy doesn't want emulated in the hearts and the soul and the minds of man. There has been a Fromm gate up in Canada. What can you tell us about that? We have about a minute or two remaining before the break, and then we'll follow it up after the next commercial. But give us a quick teaser.
Yeah, seconds remaining. I gave $131 to a conservative member of parliament who ran for the leadership unsuccessfully. And that became a big scandal. It was revealed because donations over $100 have to be out of public record. And because of that, because he'd been given this donation by what the lying from what the fake news media called was a neo-Nazi and a white supremacist, this member of parliament has been thrown out of the party.
Hey, hold on right there, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about Fromgate. How can you have a gate over a $131 financial contribution made by one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life? Well, we'll tell you more. He gave you the teaser just then. We're going to break it down. We have one segment left with Paul. He's going to get to it. And then we're going to have Paul back in March when we do our March Around the World series. Stay tuned.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
How do you know your child loves you?
When he calls and he says, Dad, why don't we go fishing? Just very simple, but it really counts.
They make a song up, and they come into our bedroom and say, we made a song, and will you listen
to it? Our next oldest daughter came with tears in her eyes, and she said, Daddy, I just thank you for coming home every night when we were growing up.
My son does the nicest things. When he's playing outside, he'll come in and just give me a hug and run right back outside.
My daughter goes to the same high school that I'm the registrar at, and I'll go into my office after the bell has rung, and there's a note on my desk. And it'll usually say, Mom, I love you. I'm thinking about you.
And I think of my boy that we finally got him through graduation. And he came up to me and said, I made it. Thanks.
Family, isn't it about time?
That's all he said. And that meant everything to me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Well, we're back for one more segment with my good friend and yours, Paul Fromm. And we're going to have Paul back on in March when we do our March Around the World. That's the month, that's the series during which we go to different leaders of different nations across the Western world, and we get an update on how those nations are faring outside of America. And Paul's going to give us an update for that here in just a while. March is only a few weeks away now. Time does march on. But anyway, we want to talk to you right now about Fromgate. So he made mention of it just a few seconds before the break. He sent in a $131 financial contribution to a political party. And the reaction of to which just goes to show, I think, underscore the unseriousness of Western governments, of political parties, of white people in general, at least white people in positions of power. We had a similar situation here with Keith Alexander, my co-host, who some years ago sent in a $25 contribution. That's big money, you know, for us here at TPC, a $25 contribution to the local Republican Party. And they returned it along with a press release to the local media saying how much they hated, you know, Keith and everything he stood for and, you know, his work and so on and so forth. You know, they returned the $25 contribution along with an apology for ever having received it. And Paul, I mean, tell us more about your story and how it sort of coincides with that and this, the ridiculousness of the supposed opposition, because you didn't contribute to the liberal left-wing party. You contributed to a party that, you know, supposedly had something to do with our line of thinking.
That's the insanity of it. In fact, at every level, there is incompetence and hypocrisy. The fact was that the party leadership had wanted to purge this member of parliament, Derek Sloan, because he was a strong social conservative and he was organizing social conservatives for an upcoming party policy convention coming up in March. And it's actually, I think, that I responded to, because what I sent was an unusual figure. It was $131. Now, normally, I did give Sloan some money earlier during his campaign. I think I gave him $100 or maybe $200, but I'll, you know, I was rounded off. So this $131 was the registration for the policy conference, and that's what popped up. Well, they went nuts. Now they were trying to, they wanted to get rid of Sloan for other reasons. He's a social conservative. He's organizing social conservatives, and the leadership of the party is embarrassed by social conservatives, doesn't like them, and the leader of the party, a guy named Aaron O'Toole, he believes in the Paris Accord, you know, which would be the tax beggaring the West to forego carbon fuels. He believes in the LGBTQ thing. I mean, he really is what we call liberal light. And Derek Sloan is a strong conservative, and I supported him on that. And he also had some really strong views on curtailing immigration and securing free speech. So really good things. But the party leadership had wanted to get rid of him. My donation was just an excuse. And as Sloan pointed out, he took in about $1.3 million for his leadership campaign. How is he supposed to vet maybe 7,000 donors and somebody giving $131? I mean, it's impossible. And here's the big laugh. In 2018, I gave $200 to the Conservative Party. They never sent it back, and they were begging me for more. So I made another pledge of $200. But I was running for office myself. I ran for mayor of the city of Hamilton, so I needed that money for me. And so I didn't give it to them. And I went for about a month. I received a phone call almost every day, getting nastier and nastier. But you promised. I thought, this is the same party that now says they don't want to take money from a notorious, it's a lie, but white supremacist and neo-Nazi. The leader of the party, this Aaron O'Toole, said that racism is a cancer of the soul. And I thought, no, yours is a soul that's empty with white self-hatred. But anyway, that was the scandal, but it boomed across the country. I got all sorts of publicity, not good publicity, mind you, but being regularly called a white supremacist and a notorious lifelong neo-Nazi. Now, this, of course, comes out of a poisonous, largely Jewish-controlled outfit called the Canadian Anti-Hate Network up in Ottawa. So they've been having a fine time this week, virtue signaling against neo-Nazis and so on. This is, of course, all the fake news that Donald Trump so brilliantly nailed and continued to nail, and I imagine will continue to nail. And it's done a lot to encourage people who are already a little bit skeptical about the mainstream media and inform a whole lot of others, because he really stuck to that theme, which is so important. They lie, as he said at one rally, you lie, you lie, you lie. And it really is the fake news media. And politicians run scared from them. This is why the pathetic reaction by the Conservative Party when a left wing outfit broke the news that I had given $131 to Derek Sloan of the Conservative Party. The leader of the party should have basically told them to buzz off. There's no way you can vet donations, and besides, the whole idea of a fundraiser is to get money. The only thing you're really concerned about is that the check clears the bank. And Donald Trump, to his credit, largely did that when he was vexed about white supremacists and David Duke's support and so on. I wouldn't say his action was 100% right, but I think he pretty much stuck to his guns that, as a politician, you are looking for support. Why people support you, who cares? If you're going to make an X on the ballot beside my name, I don't care whether you support me because, I'm handsome, or because I have the same faith as you, or just because my last name starts with the same letter that yours does. I mean, who cares? As long as you vote for me.
Well, Paul, I'll tell you, if anybody ever voted for you in your races for the mayor of Mississauga or any of the others, it's because you were handsome. I can tell you that much. But, hey, we have you back on during our March Around the World series.
Well, I really
we're going to talk more.
I think that sounds like another exciting series, and I know you're going to have some great people, very informed people, and I'm certainly proud and honored to be part of it.
Well, we'll have you back on to give us the full lowdown on Canada. So tonight, of course, we were talking a little bit about your personal situation with Fromgate. Look, conservatives will never win if they capitulate to all of the left's demands. I don't know exactly how they haven't understood this yet, but for a political party, for political candidates, political figures, officials, to fall on their sword over the fact and to have wailing, engage in wailing and gnashing of teeth over the fact that they received a contribution from an otherwise great man. You know, if I was in charge of that party, if I was in charge of that operation, I would say, Paul Fromm donated to me. I'm grateful for that. I put him at the tip of my spear. These are the kind of people I want to attract to our message. This is the kind of people our message is intended to attract. But if you cave in on the most robust and sturdy of your supporters, how are you ever going to win? Well, that's, of course, why conservatism has never won anything, because they have jettisoned people like Paul Fromm and Mark Weber and Jerry Taylor and all the people we feature here on this program. But, Paul, we love you. I'm thankful for your friendship. We'll always stand by you. I'm a better man for just having known you, and I look forward to the future with you. And we'll have you back on in just a few weeks when we get into our march around the world. Paul Fromm up in Canada doing the Lord's work, fighting the fight that far too men are willing to engage in. Thank you, Paul.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Thousands of National Guard troops brought to the nation's capital to secure the inauguration will remain in Washington, D.C. until at least March. The Guard will continue to support local and federal law enforcement, initially reduced to 7,000 members and drawing down to 5,000 troops by mid-March. Congressman Andy Biggs says there's no justification to keep the Guard in D.C. that long. The Arizona Republican tells Fox News he hopes the troops are allowed to return home soon.
There's no justification for that. They don't want to get the Democrats don't want to get back to regular order on anything, including the nation's capital. And that is going to be a problem going forward. This is, as some people have said, some commentators have suggested, that this is an attempt to show power, governmental centralization of power, through the station of military all over the United States Capitol. It is unfortunate. It shouldn't happen. And I hope that they rethink that.
This is USA Radio News.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand and you care about your credit, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 6 million people with credit card debt. Without destroying your credit, they can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. The program works. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-406-0046. 800-406-0046. That's 800-406-0046. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services, Inc. 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 80092. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation. Commission License Number DC 83. Service may adversely affect an individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action, not a loan company.
Among the executive orders that President Biden signed in his first days in office was one revoking approval for the Keystone XL pipeline, which would have run from Alberta, Canada, to Nebraska. It's a decision that Nebraska's governor says will negatively impact his state. Governor Pete Ricketts tells Fox News that the pipeline would have brought jobs and more to Nebraska.
This is a horrible decision on the part of the new administration to do this. This is going to impact Nebraska. You know, we expected to get about 1,000 good-paying jobs here. And in fact, the premier is exactly right. These are union jobs. Some of these jobs, you know, for these skilled welders pay $135 or $150 an hour. And then, of course, there's the jobs that would be permanent after the construction of the pipeline. 100 to 200 of those would be in our rural parts of our state. So, again, great paying jobs in the rural parts of our state. And then, of course, this would also deliver property tax relief to the counties that the pipeline ran through. So it really is something, it's a terrible decision, and it's going to negatively impact Nebraska and our citizens with regard to our prosperity.
This is USA Radio News.
Go for classical poetry. So to win their hearts, you must quote with these Aeschylus and Euripides. But the poet of them all, who will start them simply raven, is the poet people call the Bard of Stratford-on-Avon. Brush up your Shakespeare. Start quoting him now. Brush up your Shakespeare, and the women you will wow. Just declaim a few lines from Othello, and they'll think you're a heck of a fella. If your blonde won't respond when you flatter her, tell her what pony called Cleopatra. And if still to be shocked she pretends well, just remind her that all's well that ends well. Brush up your Shakespeare, and they'll all kowtow.
Ladies and gentlemen, where do you go? Ladies and gentlemen, where do you go after a broadcast that has featured the likes of Jared Taylor, Mark Weber, and Paul Fromm? Well, the only thing you can do is go to Jack Ryan, who's going to help us brush up on our Shakespeare. Jack, it's the first show in the Biden era. How can you make it better for us?
Well, I would make it better for this, that these cultural Marxists are trying to ban us reading all books written by, you know, dead white European American ones. So if you're going to do this, I would pick William Shakespeare. I think he's probably our best who wrote in the English language. And that song there is one of my favorite musicals by Cole Porter, Kiss Me, Kate. It's a play within a play. They're doing the Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew. The couple is having some marital problems. They're going in. They're great songs. They're spanking. I love it when couples are going on and a strong man like spanks the guy, like in John Wayne and The Quiet Man. So that was Brush Up Your Shakespeare. So I'm saying, like, this year, this worst political year of our own history, we're going to defend Shakespeare. We're going to defend the right to us to read William Shakespeare's there. And we don't care if anyone thinks that Othello or The Merchant of Venice or Macbeth is mean to Scottish people or whatever, we're going to defend the right for us to read Shakespeare. So that's my presentation to our audience tonight. Let's defend William Shakespeare there. And I've got all kinds of Shakespeare plays. I want to do some quizzes about what plays and things like that. So we're under attack, but we have the right to read William Shakespeare.
Hey, Jack, you're onto something here, buddy. I mean, come what may, we can always retreat to the safe confines in our minds of a better time and a better place, and we can maybe ride out the storm in the books and the plays and the words of people like Shakespeare and others. So how are you faring in Chicago now here 3 days into the Biden administration? It did happen. There was no coup. There was no military intervention. The senators, the states, the congressmen, everybody who was crying allegations of voter fraud, they just sort of evaporated like gorillas in the mist. Who is that? Sigourney Weaver played her in the movie, but whatever. They're gone, and here we are. And how is it in Chicago 3 days into the Biden regime?
It's extremely bad, but nothing that I'm unforeseen like that. I don't want to toot my horn too much, though I do. But I take credit for making Ivanka Trump the traitor of the year like 2 years ago. She brought Jared Kushner in there, and she sabotaged their populist pro-American agenda and things like that. And so they went bad, and things are dreadful and horrible in Chicago. But it's nothing new. Last year we had just over 4,000 shootings and just under 800 murders. And then the Soros-funded Black Lives Matter District Attorney Kim Fox, like, came in. So they basically made it so there's no bond for the criminals, so they can carjack people and they won't even have to pay a dollar. They'll just get out and have the thing. So it's absolutely bad, but it's not anything unforeseen. So I've lived 2/3 of my life in big cities, New York, Chicago, and things like that. We had it, but we're tough people. We're going to get, we've handled it before, and we're going to get through it. So I think we should, you know, toughen it up and defend our culture and things like that. We're going to get through it. It's going to go. It's terrible. It's horrible, but it's not unforeseen. It's not anything I didn't expect from it. That's why I got out of the country. That's when I went to Africa last year.
Yeah. Hey. When you live in Chicago, the only you got to go to Africa for the situation to get better.
It's much better. The African Africans are much nicer to me than the African Americans in Chicago. That they have, and the roads are better in Mogadishu, Somali, than there are in Chicago. But they don't have as bad winters. Okay. I mean, some of it is just that we've got, some of these arseholes, they don't say global warming anymore. They go climate change. This is climate change. But here in place in Chicago, we have climate change because it's called season. Okay, we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. And winters are cold. Okay, so it's not global warming, and then it messes up the roads. So the roads that the Romans did 2,000 years ago in North Africa and Syria are in better shape today than the roads in Chicago that are messed up. So it's bad, it's horrible, but it's nothing unforeseen. So I wanna tell our listeners, like, obviously things are rough, they're bad and things like that, but don't get freaked out that this is unexpected or some kind of things. Like, just look at reality and deal with it, and we're gonna get through it. Obviously it's bad, but it's not something unforeseen. You know, it's Chicago in January. It's winter.
Well,
it's cold.
Hey, well, weather and climate notwithstanding, whether you're up there in New England or Chicago or down here in the South, we're all Chicagoans now in terms of politically speaking. So, Jack, you've suffered much worse with Mayor Lightfoot and everything you've got going on up there.
Right.
How do the rest of us deal with what's coming for us over there, at least the next 2 years, if not four? You've been up in Chicago. You've dealt with it on a municipal, a city, a county,
right,
a state level. How do the rest of us deal with it now on a federal level?
Okay, well, my advice is that I've spent 2/3 of my life in just rough big cities, and then also academia, places high level. I did all these SAT tests and I got accepted these highest level things, New York University, Cambridge, Harvard, and things like that. So these really bad intellectual, cultural Marxist place things that they at one time they were confined to the Northeast or they have it, but now this politics has spread to the rest of the country. Okay, and so you're having to deal with this stuff where girls can't go to the bathroom without being exposed to 300-pound trannies or things like that. So I've dealt with this stuff my whole frickin' life. Okay, so it's like bad, but you just have to deal with it. So I can give advice to our people how to deal with it, and you can deal with it. You have to be involved in co-ops and buildings, private schools, and all these things. But we don't live in Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, 1950s, Eisenhower America. That way, and I know that Keith Alexander, he wants to go back with Tammy the Bachelor, but that place is in the past. So now we're dealing with this stuff now. But I've dealt with this my whole life since I was 7 years old. And, it's rough, but you just have to deal with it. And if you were tough, good people, we will deal with it. And we will get through this there, and we will. So, that's life. But my father always told me the bad things about Chicago, it builds character. It builds courage and things like that. So, anything I can do to share my experiences to go through this, and things are bad, but it's not unexpected. It's not something that we didn't expect. It's just That's my
well, hey, listen, folks, like I said, we're all Chicagoans now, and maybe we need the sunny disposition of a guy in Chicago now that we're,
right.
you know, the rest of the nation is post-Trump. We can say, hey right. I've lived in Chicago. It ain't so bad, guys. Believe me. I mean, you can get through it. So you might have to go to Cape Town for a couple of months, but you know, you can do it.
Right. You know, and they're like, you think things are good, and like you got this nice, wholesome family, everything like they're good, and then you find out that your like wife decides that she doesn't like the relationship anymore, and he wants to divorce you, and she's got some feminist attorney, and wants to give you like child support for like $8,000 a month. I've had friends like that that this happened to them. So these things could happen. These bad things can happen, so you just have to be. You have to be a good person. But that's one of the Boy Scouts. Be prepared before these feminist, communist people wiped out the Boy Scouts. Be prepared. Be prepared for weather, tornadoes, earthquakes, hurricanes. Be prepared for cultural marks and stuff. And that's what we are. We're good people, but we're tough. We're not cowardly pussies.
Hey, you know, it's like we mentioned it with Jared. Our people have been through worse than this, worse than what we've been through in America thus far. Hopefully worse than what we will experience over the next 2 to 4 years under President Biden-Harris. But even if it's worse yet than that, still, it's nothing compared to what our people have experienced in the past. We can overcome this, but we're going to have to get tougher. Stay tuned.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
I gave a letter to the postman. He put it in his sack.
bright and early next morning, he brought my letter back.
She wrote upon it,
"Return the sender, address unknown, no such number, no such zone."
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have one segment remaining, and it's a good time to offer you this parting announcement on a night that has been such a great night. What with Jared Taylor, Mark Weber, Paul Fromm appearing, and, of course, our very own Jack Ryan. Keith Alexander has the night off. He'll be back with us next week. But I was, you know, in the spirit of misery loves company, I was a little bit encouraged to hear that I was not the only one having problems with the post office in recent weeks. Yes, indeed, Jared Taylor himself and Amron have had a struggle of fulfilling orders and getting things out in a timely manner, not of their own fault, but because of the USPS, the American Free Press as well. Now, Paul Fromm appeared just a moment ago. We love Paul Fromm, but no, Paul Angel of the American Free Press sent out a missive, and I'd like to share it with you. It's a little historical in nature, but it's a good compare and contrast before we toss it back to Jack. So here's a little history for you. In 1858, the Butterfield Overland Mail Company was formed. Now, this stage traveled from Memphis and St. Louis, meandering through the Southwest and ending up in San Francisco. So from Memphis to San Francisco. The entire route was 2,800 miles, and you were guaranteed to have your mail delivered within 25 days or your money back. Now, back then, they didn't have global pandemics and mail-in voting, but they did have tornadoes, flash floods, blistering heat, rattlesnakes, bandits, hostile Apache Indians, all waiting to waylay the stagecoach. Now, note that the 25-day delivery of the Butterfield Overland Mail Company is better service than what we have today from the United States Postal Service. Seriously, I mailed some packages to our donors on December the 18th that have still not been delivered. That's a fact. So the Butterfield Overland Mail Company is out of business, but the USPS and the Postal Employees Union still reigns. Now, we're staying on top of it, ladies and gentlemen. About a dozen of you have unfulfilled orders. Now, how do you know if you're one of the 12? That have the unfulfilled orders? Well, if you sent $100 or more in December and you still haven't received your copy of Deus Vult, you're one of the 12. The books are sold out. They are in a second printing now. They're shipping more to me from Eastern Europe. They will come. I am in touch with Nick Griffin and Jim Dowson about this on a weekly basis. They are coming, and we will get them to you, but we are at the mercy of the elements. That incentive gift, that book, has been the most popular we ever offered, so much so that we are still processing orders. Now, it has not just been the USPS that has been slow in getting your books to you. They have been slow in getting your orders to us. I received, Jack, on January the 18th, just 5 days ago, a check that was mailed to us on December the 24th. That's not just a check. That's just a regular letter. We're just now being delivered orders that were sent to us before Christmas. That's how slow the USPS is going right now. So anyway, approximately 95% plus of you have received your orders. A few of you are still waiting. We know who you are. We appreciate your patience. They will come. All orders will be fulfilled. We are working daily to make it so. But Jack, wow, we live in this crazy world where good is evil and evil is good, and mail delivery in the 1850s going on stagecoach through Indian territory was more guaranteed to be delivered than what we've got today.
No, that's where we are. I would also say that the roads that the Romans made in 50 AD are in better shape in North Africa than the roads in Chicago right now. And part of it is just, okay, they didn't have the cold and freezing stuff, but they made the roads with stone instead of like asphalt and things like that. But my comment on that is that I want to warn our listeners about the dangers of these people, these libertarian, these free market people that say that everything private is good
and government is all bad. It's very bad. I'm like, no, we need to be involved in our government. We need to get a control of our government that has our schools and things like that. And if the private enterprise that have our things are controlled by racial, ethnic, and sexual, homosexual people that hate us, we won't be able to good. What would happen if Twitter and Facebook, if these people were given control of our interstate highway system, and we wouldn't be able to drive on the roads, and if we said something bad on the internet, if we gave a negative review of some terrible feminist remake of Ghostbusters, like you say, like, no, we want to have public schools and public roads and things like that that are safe for our people. So that's a real dead end to get into this. Everything has got to be private and stuff. There's no reason that the post office can't deliver good mail or things like that if it's run by our people, you know, there. And that's a dead end to go in and decide that everything's got to be private and everything will be okay if we get rid of government. And no way. If the private companies that dominate the media, Hollywood, the electronic things, if these are dominated by oligarchs that hate us, we're screwed. So I don't really want to go that way.
Well, I'm a guy who, again, you know me, Jack. I am a perfectionist. I have a touch of obsessive compulsive disorder. The trains have to run on time. And when they don't run on time, boy, I get upset. I get antsy. I don't like it. I'm anxious. I'll tell you, I check the tracking numbers every few days on these orders that have not been fulfilled, and I'm waiting, and every time I see it, you know, it says still in transit. I mean, holy hell, in a handbasket, a month? I could walk it to the damn city in a month. But anyway, so that's what we're up to. And we send it all priority mail. We don't even send it first class. We certainly don't send it media mail. We send it priority mail. We pay the extra to get it delivered on time and with tracking. And anyway, this is where we are. But listen, hey, folks, what we do have, what we can bank on is our family and our community here at TPC. And we get so many emails and letters and handwritten notes, Jack, every week here from Keith in Maryland. Keith, James, the TPC gang, and of course, Jack, that certainly includes you. Thanks for courageously fighting for the future of the children and grandchildren of European people year in and year out. And for 16 years, we've done that. Thank you, Keith. Keith is a guy who donates every quarter. And Keith, I hope you have received your package by now. I believe you have, because as I say, I do check the tracking. But here is one from Paul. We've had a lot of Pauls tonight. We've had Paul Angel. We just read an email from him, Paul Fromm. But this is Paul in Australia, one of our loyal listeners and supporters. Jack, Paul writes, "Dear James, thank you. I appreciate the good work you and the political cesspool crew do. All the best in the new year." So, Jack, here and abroad, Chicago, Tennessee, you name it, across the country, Keith from Maryland, Paul in Australia, around the world, our listeners are tuned in tonight. And I want to thank you again this here, Jack, one of the first shows of the new year. Thank you for being part of our team. You're part of the crew they mention in these letters and notes and emails, and we're all the better for it.
Okay, well, let's keep our family together. But obviously, you know, we've been through good times and bad. Obviously, lots of things are bad right now. But we made it through the Great Depression, Dark Ages, bubonic plague, wiped out half the population of Europe or something like that. So let's not give up or something like that. But we live in a bad time. So I want to do more Shakespeare. Now is the winter of our discontent. What Shakespeare play was that from?
Well, you know, Jack, you put me on the spot with those questions. Now, you ask me any question about 1950s or 60s doo-wop, I got you covered. And, you know, we should mention that Phil Spector just passed a few days ago. We should.
No, he did. Pretty bad guy. That's Richard III. It's Richard III.
All right. There you go. I want to say one more before you go on about Shakespeare. We mentioned Paul a moment ago, Paul from Australia. Now, it's taken a month plus to get some of these packages out down the road. If you live in, if you live outside of the United States, it always takes a little bit longer. But I give Jack's word, Paul, to you that we'll get that package to you by hopefully by the 4th of July, the way things are following right now. I give you Jack's word. It'll be there to you by the 4th of July if we send it out tomorrow. And we'll send it out as soon as we get it. But no, Jack, you're right. We need to listen. We need to remember the beauty. It's still our Father's world. There's a lot of beauty and valor and strength and courage in the world. And if you can't find it in your local community, you can always roll back the history books. And there it is, always waiting to set an example. We have beauty. We have art. We have poetry. We have Shakespeare. We have a lot of great things. Yeah. And we're a great people.
Well, you got to say, like, if you're reading a book that's over 150 years old, it was probably by a dead white person. Like most people over 150 years ago are dead.
Except for us, Jack. Hey, listen, buddy. I love you. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again next week. Godspeed. Hey, we're all hanging in there week by week, day by day. Jack Ryan, everybody, for Jared Taylor, Mark Weber, Paul Fromm. I'm James Edwards. We'll be back with us next week. We're going to try to get to the bottom of that Rush Limbaugh clip between now and then. It's been a great show. A lot of important stuff. A few laughs, too. Thank you, Jack. I'm James Edwards. Good night. Godspeed. We'll see you in 7 days.